And welcome to another episode of Diabetes Dialogue, Technology, Therapeutics, and Real World Perspectives. I'm Diana Isaacs, and I'm joined by my co-host, Natalie Bellini. And in this episode, we want to provide some recent exciting updates in the diabetes space. This includes a new automated insulin delivery algorithm, four over-the-counter CGM options, as well as the renaming of JDRF. So Natalie, I'm going to turn it over to you. Let's first talk about the new and exciting over-the-counter CGM options.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having us again. Abbott, so last week, it announced that they received FDA clearance for a 15-day over-the-counter Libre system called the Rio, which is approved for individuals 18 and older, not on insulin therapy. It'll be the second over-the-counter CGM approved in the U.S. I don't know if any of you remember, but Dexcom Stelo was approved back in March of 2024. The Rio brings the Abbott offerings from the Libre 2, the Libre 2 Plus, the Libre 3. So this is the Abbott's first over-the-counter continuous glucose sensor. It'll be 15 days. Dexcom Stelo will be. And we're very excited about this. So let's talk about what we don't know, though. What we don't know is pricing. Again, we still don't know the pricing on the Dexcom over-the-counter, and neither company will announce that until their official launch dates. We are expecting more news at the American Diabetes Association that's happening in Orlando in June.
Yeah, this is going to be so interesting.
Yes.
We got word about the Stelo and having the first OTC option. I know we're really excited how that's going to change everything. And it seemed like almost overnight, now there's going to be three OTC options. And I think it's good. Competition is definitely really good in this space because hopefully that brings the pricing down. Also, we learned, at least with the Stelo, that that's going to be available through this e-commerce site. So that's actually right. Going to be something people can purchase online. And I think there's pros and cons to that. A lot of people purchase everything online. So in terms of access, that's easier. But being able to walk into the pharmacy to pick it up would be nice as well. So it'll be interesting to see kind of how the Libre options are available. And then, I'm just hoping and thinking this is going to really bring CGM to the masses and make it more accessible.
And I think in the beginning, they're going to use it online just to sort of control it and see what's happening and get a better picture of And then I think eventually you will be able to walk into any drugstore and purchase a continuous glucose sensor over the counter, right? next to the meters. You know, you can use a prescription for a meter to get your insurance company to cover it, but you truly can go buy a finger stick glucose meter at the pharmacy right now if you wanted to. I will tell you there are going to be some differences in the two systems. For example, the Rio will measure glucoses from 40 to 400. Where Dexcom product goes up to 250. If you're using this for someone without diabetes, you wouldn't expect them to go above 250. So I think those are going to be nuances that we will figure out long term. It's going to be back and forth to see what benefits and those options offer. I do think it will be interesting when someone puts this on because, oh, my grandson has diabetes or my neighbor has one, so I wanted to try it, and they self-diagnose either insulin resistance, seeing post-meal spiking, or even overt diabetes that person had missed either by not seeing a provider on a regular basis or avoiding screening.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, obviously, these are not approved for diagnosis, but that would prompt the healthcare team then.
Exactly.
Some labs.
I'm high, right? Look at this. Yes.
Right. Absolutely. And then it reminds me of now it feels like the olden days, but we used to do glucose screenings at health fairs,
right,
with finger sticks. And in many cases, we would discover, someone comes in, they're 300. You've got to go see your healthcare provider. There's a good chance you have diabetes. So I think in much the same way, this will hopefully let people know. The only thing that I worry about is the people that are more likely to utilize these may not be the ones that have diabetes, especially the case of Rio. I think that one is more geared toward, I mean, possibly athletes, you know, definitely people without diabetes. So it may be people that are more health minded that are less likely to have diabetes that utilize it. But we'll see. I'm sure some cases are going to be discovered through it, and definitely probably some pre-diabetes will
absolutely
be discovered from it.
So just to clarify, Abbott actually has two over-the-counter CGMs that have been approved, the Rio for people with diabetes and the Lingo for people without diabetes. And that's what Diana was referring to about the about that athlete or the person that's looking just to see what their glucose does, you know, for someone without diabetes.
Yeah. And I wonder how, hopefully the marketing on it will be clear so people get the right one, because there are differences in terms of the glucose ranges. So the Rio goes from 40 to 400, just like the, you know, the Libre 2 or the Libre 3, which would be preferred for someone with diabetes. So you can see those higher numbers versus the Lingo is that tighter range. It's 55 to 200, because you wouldn't expect if someone doesn't have diabetes that they're probably going to go over 200. So right. That makes sense. But people, there's probably going to need to be some education around people purchasing the correct one if they have diabetes versus not having diabetes.
Right. Absolutely. I think, too, the other interesting thing we should talk about is when these products were announced, there was also pictures of other future products that Abbott is expecting and has been working on, including the continuous cleat, or I don't know if it's going to truly be continuous, but the ketone meter. And we're very excited about that. We're very excited about that. There are people, especially with type 1, that are prone to ketosis, those with that take very little insulin, those that, you know, miss doses for various reasons, those that are insulin rationing. I think that that this gives us some opportunity to protect those people and reduce the risk of hospital admission. But also, you know, you and I really, really, really would love to use SGLT2 inhibitors off-label in more people with type 1 diabetes to help reduce the risk of progression to further kidney disease.
Yeah.
To protect those kidneys. And we euglycemic DKA is real with those people, and it can be very dangerous. It can be deadly. So we have very cautiously, very occasionally said, okay, let's do this. Let's try this with you. These are the symptoms. This is what you need to do. You know, there's a whole set of training. There's a whole set of, and it's very difficult, right? To really say this person is going to end up, you know, with euglycemic DKA. You can't pick. So there is some predicting abilities, but there isn't an absolute. So I think that if I had an ability to have someone wear a ketone meter, I could know that I could then use drugs that might protect the kidneys. I'm pretty excited about that as a clinician.
Yeah, I am too. And the thing is, now these SGLT2 inhibitors have indications for kidney disease, heart failure, irrespective of diabetes. So technically, it's like there would be clear benefit. It may not even be off label, but you're right. We have that DKA risk. And also the data that we had seen presented at ATTD in the past, I mean, it just showed that a lot of times glucose is not a good predictor of DKA. If you're just waiting for the glucose to be above a certain amount for a certain period of time, that it's different from person to person. So actually measuring the ketones would be a much better indicator. So yeah, I can't wait. We've been hearing about this for a long time. Hopefully it's coming. It's really going to come soon and be available. But I think that would be a huge benefit. And to your point, it would make us much more comfortable prescribing SGLT2 inhibitors to people with type 1. Also, sotagliflozin, which is approved for it's approved for heart failure. It's really a heart failure drug. But that originally was studied in type 1 diabetes. It was actually submitted to the FDA for type 1 diabetes, but ultimately it just didn't get approval because of that DKA risk. And so you kind of wonder if this would be available, then could we have a drug like sotagliflozin, which showed clear benefit in type 1 diabetes? It was just the risk of DKA that could ultimately gain approval for type 1, which would be really exciting.
Yes, we have seen the data on people who use AID and then with type 1 diabetes and initiate a SGLT2 inhibitor, that their time in range improves, their overall average glucose improves. I mean, it is you know, it is very beneficial, but that risk is just too great for you know, people that are walking, or we can't predict it. So how do you decide? It's a very difficult clinical decision.
Right. So many exciting updates with continuous monitors. There's also been talk about what else could be tested in addition to ketones, in addition to glucose. Like, could they look at potassium? Could they look at creatinine for people with kidney disease? I mean, the space is definitely going to continue to evolve. So it's very, very exciting. But in the meantime, we look forward to this summer when we'll hopefully have our first OTC CGM. So we would like to talk about a couple other exciting updates. How about next we talk about JDRF, who had this amazing announcement. So JDRF, actually what it stands for is Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation. But I don't think they actually spelled out the acronym in the last few years, because we know, of course, that type 1 diabetes is not juvenile diabetes, that people can be diagnosed with type 1 diabetes at any age in life, actually. So, Natalie, can you tell us a little bit about the rebranding and the new name of JDRF?
So I think we have to remember, 50 years ago, the majority of people... upwards of 90% of people who were diagnosed with type 1 were children. And that demographic has completely changed. More than at least 50%, if not pushing into 60% now, get diagnosed as adults. So part of the challenge is when you call something the Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, and people won't go there. They don't even look for it because they say, I got type 1 as an adult, where do I go? And there's, you know, so they're looking for support, they're looking for things, and JDRF just didn't really match that name and that branding. So I think this was an incredible idea, and they've renamed themselves Breakthrough T1D, which I think is the perfect, you know, their ultimate goal is to find a cure for type 1 diabetes. They also use research money, though, to help treat and prevent at the same time. So prevent the complications. So it's you know, find the answer to stopping it. But also, what about people who already have type 1? You know, those, they've done some incredible research with eye disease, with kidney disease, and so we don't want to take out what JDRF has done as an entity, right? They've done a lot of things for all people living with type 1. So this rebranding, I think, really puts that back into the everyone with type 1. This is the organization that's full goal. This is the only organization that's entire goal is around one disease, and that is type 1 diabetes.
Yeah, I think I didn't caught me by surprise that they were rebranding, but I'm so glad that they did.
Yes,
because we've all known, like, I never wanted to spell out JDRF because, you know, we don't want to use the name Juvenile. And so it makes so much sense. And I think this is just a really positive movement. And it's just great to see all that the organization is doing around screening and hopefully really finding a cure in the near-ish future. So very exciting.
And I think that it brings into that whole, you know, in the past, what is it, 15, 20 years now, that, you know, the staging of type 1, the majority of people are antibody positive. You know, in Italy, if we look at Italy, and we've talked about this before, they're now doing universal screenings at 2, at 5, and at 9, because the majority of people that are going to develop type 1 are antibody positive during one of those times. 2 weeks ago, I had a person with diabetes in my office that was diagnosed at 83. years old. And so when you look at them and say, you've probably been positive the majority of your life, but your antibodies just decided to attack the beta cells now. Like, they just, you know, that message, we've never had that discussion before. We don't. So that breakthrough in T1D branding makes so much more sense because we know more about the disease process. So I'm really excited about this, partly because they've changed their name to match our knowledge base as clinicians that needs to present that knowledge to the person sitting in front of us.
Yeah, I totally agree. And we still have a lot of work to do to educate everyone about the different staging in type 1 diabetes. I think that's still something a lot of people don't know, especially people that maybe are not doing diabetes management every single day. That's something we still need to educate on.
Absolutely. Yep. We are at the cusp of that right now, right? We're about to. Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Yeah. So, all right. Next update, which I am so excited about. It also really took me by surprise. I knew that it had been submitted to the FDA, but I just was so surprised. So anyway, the update is that the CAM-APS algorithm for automated insulin delivery was FDA approved. So why am I so excited? This algorithm is actually one that's been available in the UK, and it is the only algorithm that is actually approved for use in pregnancy. And when the FDA approved it, they also approved it for use in pregnancy. So this is a more intensive algorithm. We've touched upon this when we talked about like the ADAPT clinical trial and when we talked about kind of other algorithms, but this algorithm goes down to 80, which means that we can get those tighter glucose targets that are needed in pregnancy. And that's one of the reasons why it gained the approval and why it's been used in the UK in pregnancy. And I think of it in a lot of ways, like kind of when Tidepool gained the approval. So it's an algorithm. It can work with different insulin pumps, with different continuous glucose monitors. We don't know yet which ones it's going to work with. And I'm hopeful that it will work with multiple ones, but we just don't know yet. Kind of similarly to like with Tidepool, when it gained approval, Natalie and I were so excited, but it took a while for a partner. And now they have a partner, which is the Twist, the Sequel Twist. So we're kind of going to be waiting to see who the partner will be. In the UK, they work with a pump called the Ipsomed. They've also worked with the Dana insulin pump, but those are not yet available in the US. I say not yet. I don't know. I mean, but that's what they've historically worked with. So we'll see. But Natalie, curious your comments and thoughts on this.
I just think that it's, you know, we use AID in pregnancy every day, all the time. We, you know, this is something that is part of what we, but this is, it's FDA approved because we can get those fasting glucoses where we want them. And that ADA goal of less than 95 fasting is very difficult to do. And we have to work around it. How's that clinically? We have to work around the limitations of them. And CAM-APS will offer this as is. So that's a wonderful, wonderful thing. I will say, you know, let's take a step back real quick. So Tandem is the first company that said, we work with Dexcom. That's what they did. They worked with G6, then they added G7. They finally added, you know, they were the first company that said, interoperability, which is what we're talking about here. We want to be able to order our CGM and say, I like, let's say G6. I like Libre 2 or Libre 3, or I like this, I like that, and have the person almost like go to a grocery store and say, I want a yellow pepper versus a red pepper to work with my system, right? So you could pick your continuous glucose sensor and then pick your delivery system and even pick your app that would run that delivery system. So CAM-APS is an app just like Tidepool is, and Tidepool is actually working with both Sequel as well as Embecta, and both of them have bought the same algorithm, right? So basically, Embecta and Sequel have said, we want to work with Tidepool Loop, and we will both offer the algorithm that is approved, FDA approved for Tidepool, and use it with their system. It's like grocery shopping, right? They could have picked CAM-APS. It wasn't approved yet, right? So that's what we're talking about when we talk about this interoperability, that you could then pick and choose. I would hope that companies would be open to this, because I think it's the best for the person with diabetes. Some people have skin reactions to certain CGMs. Some people just don't like them. They don't feel like they're accurate. They don't, whatever. The clinicians, you know, want something aggressive enough, but safe enough for the person. So I think that what we'd really like in the end is to be able to think about it as like going to the grocery store and shopping for back and forth. And this is the first. It'll be interesting to see who takes that step and says, let's go with CAM-APS. the only picture of the CAM APS app on the online right now actually still has it in millimoles, which is how we measure glucose outside of the US, right? So I don't think it's coming quickly, because first they have to find a partner. I mean, how long was Tide Pool Loop approved before? It was more than a year before we actually got a partner. So I don't think it's going to happen quickly, but like, this is such a good hope for us as clinicians to say, we have something that we can use that will work well, that I mean, I'm excited. I can't wait.
Yeah, I'm really excited. And just for the listener, so Sequel MedTech was FDA approved earlier this year. Hopefully we're going to see it in the near future, the Twist available. I mean, we will. But the Embecta has been submitted to the FDA, but it's not. I mean, they still need to hear back. So that one's not FDA approved. If you're just wondering, did you miss the new pump update? I'm hopeful. So what I hope is that these companies will say, well, now there's another FDA approved algorithm. Can we purchase? Can we get that algorithm onto our pumps? Because ultimately, what I think would be really great is that people have that choice. And with pregnancy, I mean, it's a limited amount of time, right? It's like, you know, 9 months. So it would be nice if someone could say, well, during these 9 months, I want to use the CAM APS. Outside of that, maybe I want to go back to Tide Pool. And so it would be really nice if people could kind of choose their algorithm in the same way that now that they can choose their CGM. Like, for example, with Tandem, that someone could literally just say, you know, this month I want to use a Libre and next month I want to go and use the G7. And I think just having that choice would be really, really nice to have.
Now. Yeah. So I love that idea, right? To be able to pick and choose, to say, we want you to use our, let's say, Sequel pump or our whatever pump. So use our algorithm and then pick the algorithm that goes with that product. That is the ideal, you know, consumer oriented, but also diabetes oriented. You know, there are times in your life that you may or may want, you know, tighter control for pregnancy, but also tighter control for other reasons. You know, sometimes people end up with the beginnings of some kind of complication or a whatever reason, their life becomes more stable and they say, okay, I can do this now. I really want to focus on diabetes. I could say, let's get a little bit stronger algorithm. Let's pick and choose this. Let's do this differently. And that's very exciting to me, to be able to have someone walk into my office and say, let me help you with your goals.
Yeah. And I mean, right now we're basically working with the other AID systems to try to do our best to reach those pregnancy goals. It's definitely challenging. I do think we've talked about the Medtronic 780G in the past and the Crystal study. And that one, being that it does have the lowest target right now, the 100, it's not 80, but that one has done pretty well in terms of reaching those pregnancy goals. But a lot of times we're using, we're using like Omnipod 5, because people like to have the tubeless, and that one goes down to 110. So it's definitely going to be nice having a CAM APS, and I hope that other companies will consider trying to utilize this algorithm, or at least working within their algorithms to try to have those lower targets for pregnancy, but also just for people that want to have lower targets. I mean, even outside of pregnancy,
right?
There's many people that maybe have less variability and could safely achieve these lower targets if able to, if the algorithm would allow it. So I think this just goes back to the individualization. Yeah, there's some people where we would maybe not want to use those lower targets because we would really worry about hypoglycemia. But at least having the option would be really, really nice to have.
Exciting times though, right? Like, there's so many things changing in diabetes technology and medication, and we're excited.
Yeah, we're so excited. So thank you everyone for tuning in. We will have more on all these topics at the upcoming ADA scientific sessions. So we look forward to that. And thanks for tuning into this episode.